The Drives podcast is presented by Disability Advantage Group. Need help applying for Social Security disability benefits? One call does it all. Call Disability Advantage Group at 865-566-0800 or visit dag-us.com.
It's time for The Drives Top 5 at 5.
Hour number 3 of The Drive underway. 5:01 on your Monday. Russell and Bear back with you. Trey Wallace has left the building. Jake Lester is in with the top five at five. It's going to be brought to you this afternoon by our friends at Knoxville Smiles. Schedule your free smile consultation at KnoxvilleSmiles.com. Go on the website. You can schedule it right there. You can call the office if you want to. If you're one of those folks that likes to talk to a human being, there's still some of those folks out there. You could do that. Just log on to KnoxvilleSmiles.com and find the phone number. Jake?
Number one, Tennessee freshman running back Eric Gray was named SEC Freshman of the Week today after exploding for 246 yards, breaking the Tennessee single-season game freshman rushing record held since Jamal Lewis ran for 232 yards against Georgia in 1997 and scored three touchdowns on 25 carries in a 28-10 win against the Commodores.
We talked about it on Voluntary Reaction a little bit. You know, did he do enough in that one game to kind of establish himself as RB1, if you will? And I think the consensus was, while it was a tremendous performance and somewhat of a breakout game and gives us a lot of hope, I just feel like this day and age, and like, you don't see a lot of RB1. You see a lot of running back by committee approaches, and I think that's going to be what we continue to have. Evidently, Ty Chandler was a little bit banged up. Tim Jordan is a proven commodity. I think there's a ceiling
there. He does what he does.
And I think we're going to need all three of those guys. Coming back next year, you got to feel good. Now, Phil kind of hit at this in his phone call last hour. Wish we had a game breaker. Wish we had a Jamal Lewis, a Reggie Cobb, a Chuck Webb. Those guys don't grow on trees. And we don't have one of those right now. We're not going to have one next year, it doesn't look like. So we got to make the do with what we've got. Now, like, I think the three we got are pretty darn good, and our offensive line continues to get better. But that's where recruiting is. You have to – he's got to go find one of those guys, man. He's got to go find a superstar tailback.
Well, especially with Chaney, he likes more than one dominant running back. And I think during the game, the 94-yard touchdown run, I believe the stat that they threw out on the Jumbotron was it's the longest run by a true freshman in the SEC ever.
Ooh, I like that.
There's only been one run
that's
longer.
That's a juicy number.
The Kelsey Finch 99-yarder back in the 70s.
Well, for here, there have been other schools have had 99-yard runs.
Yeah. SEC history by a true freshman.
There have been many. I wonder how many there have been.
Longest run by a freshman in the history of the league. That's pretty damn special.
Number two, quarterback Felipe Franks announced on his Instagram account Sunday that he will not return to the Florida Gators next season. Instead, he said he plans to explore his options of entering the NFL draft or transferring and playing his final season at another school. Jake Bentley of South Carolina joined Franks, announcing that he will transfer from the Gamecocks program today as well.
It's interesting. There's two pretty good quarterbacks that are going to land somewhere and probably have a shot at starting right away. I don't think we should be in the conversation for either one of those, but I don't know. Then again, should we? Jake Bentley can play.
We got a pretty full quarterback room as it is. I don't know if they would make room for another.
One of those guys is going to leave, right? I think
it'll be JT Shroud.
I think it'll be JT Shroud. So you're going to have Garantano, maybe. You're going to have Maurer. You're going to have
Kasim
Bailey. Kasim Hill, who I'm not – some people are hopeful there. I'm like, there's a reason he's not on scholarship right now.
Plus the walk-ons.
I don't know. Do you pick up the phone and call Jake Bentley and see if he's interested?
I take Franks over Bentley. Because I think Franks.
Did you get high before you came into work today?
I don't know.
I think Franks is garbage, man. I'd take Garantano back before I take Franks.
I think you could coach him up better than you could coach up Bentley.
Go Gator.
Number three, Washington coach Chris Peterson will step down after the Huskies bowl game and be replaced by defensive coordinator Jimmy Lake, the school announced today. As part of the shocking announcement, the school said Peterson will transition into a, quote, leadership advisory role within the athletic department. South Florida has also fired coach Charlie Strong yesterday after three seasons in which the Bulls won fewer games each year. South Florida made the move 2 days after finishing a 4-8 season with a blowout loss to rival UCF. It left Charlie Strong 21-16 overall.
Do you think Charlie Strong, when he lays his head down on the pillow at night, wonders what if? What if he had allowed Dave Hart to gather him up for the first of many beers and bring him back to Knoxville and assumed the helm at the University of Tennessee? You think he wonders that?
No, I think he probably wonders more about what if I'd just stayed at Louisville and kept building what I had there, because they liked him up there. I mean, he had them rolling.
Shows you grass ain't always greener.
Exactly.
Number four, Sacred Heart sophomore guard Cameron Parker had 24 assists on Sunday in a 101-57 victory over Division III Pine Manor, the most ever by a Division I player since assists became an official statistic.
How many assists?
24. But get this.
Dropping dimes.
The previous high was 22, done by four players, most recently by Oklahoma's Trey Young in 2017. And this time, Parker did not score in the victory, becoming the first player over the past 20 seasons with 20 assists and 0 points in one game.
Fascinating.
Old school.
Old school.
Number five.
I have a feeling that's kind of the way Rick Barnes would like Lamonte Turner to play if we had anybody else on the roster that could score.
Yeah, but we don't.
Hence, he has to shoot.
Number five, former Auburn quarterback Pat Sullivan, the 1971 Heisman Trophy winner and later the head coach at TCU and Samford, passed away on Sunday morning after a long battle with cancer. Sullivan, who had the disease since 2003, was 69 years old, and he broke 24 Auburn records during his career, was a two-time All-American, and was inducted into the College Football Hall of Fame in 1991.
What year did he win the Heisman?
1971. We also have a 5B.
Okay.
Another competitor has entered the chicken sandwich race. McDonald's.
Really? Whoa. Have you like watched these shows before? You announce the guy dies, and then we act all somber, and then you go to a break. You're going to follow the death story with chicken sandwich
Pat
stuff?
What happened? Sullivan?
Yes, just, it's yeah, very
just,
sad.
No.
It's very
just,
sad.
Just stop.
Okay,
it happened yesterday.
Let's do the chicken voice in our sad somebody just died voices. Okay, tell us about the chicken sandwiches.
McDonald's has entered the race. Mm.
Talking slower does not mean somber.
They're testing out a crispy chicken sandwich made with a fried chicken fillet topped with butter and crinkle cut pickles on a potato roll.
Yeah, okay.
But the most shocking part is that it's only available in two cities in the United States. Houston, Texas.
It's okay.
And Knoxville, Tennessee.
Really? It's available.
Is it available in Knoxville?
Yeah.
Are you serious?
Yeah.
Houston and Knoxville?
Knoxville is a frequent test market for stuff like
that.
We
get the McDonald's chicken sandwich.
Yes.
Us in Houston.
Yeah.
Through January 26th.
The fourth largest city in America. And us?
Yeah.
Yeah.
That seems really weird.
It does, but I'm telling you, this is not the first time.
Is it because...
it's because we eat out so damn much.
Well, McDonald's does so much with the local, with Tombras Advertising Agency here in Knoxville. It's gotta be, there's got to be a tie-in there, right? It's
just what it says, CNN reporting.
Huh.
We'll talk after the show about
that's the 5B very thing. Very nice.
Okay.
That's very nice, Jake.
I mean, I hate Auburn, but I mean, rest in peace, Pat Sullivan.
Knoxville Smiles knows that a beautiful smile is an important asset, and they'd like to invite you to visit their practice on South Peters Road for a free, no-risk, new patient consultation. Knoxville Smiles offers a full range of dental services in their state-of-the-art office. Visit KnoxvilleSmiles.com to set up your appointment and treat yourself to a smile makeover so that you can smile with confidence. Knoxville Smiles, creating beautiful smiles, one relationship at a time. Let's get Big Josh in here, then Westchester. Good afternoon, Big Josh. You're on the drive.
Hey, what's going on, Russ? Bear? How much? Jake?
Hey, man, how you doing?
Doing good. Hey, Russ, I hadn't heard nobody talk about it, but you know, at the end of that basketball game, when that guy from VCU hit that three.
He walked.
He walked, but did the clock run at all?
I have no idea, Josh. I didn't even think about it. I would say I go back and watch that, but I don't even know if that game's available anywhere.
Well, they kept showing the replay on that broadcast, but they had no announcers, you know. It was just that elevator music or whatever it was.
Well, if it didn't, I'm glad it didn't, because it gave us time to win the game. I mean, you know, it worked out.
Yeah, I mean, I'm glad too, but, I mean, I just hadn't heard nobody comment on it. And I didn't know if I was just seeing things or if it,
I'll be honest, Josh. I mean, the football game is going on. We're watching it here. We just had the basketball set up on a laptop, and you know, it did not have as much as my attention as it usually does.
I noticed on the clock, Josh, when it was counting down, when it like went from 1 minute to the seconds, it was stuck on 0.2, so it would go 4.2, 3.2, 2.2 instead of counting down the tenths of the seconds too. But as far as the clock running on the three-pointer, I'm not sure.
They were basically playing.
Breaking news this afternoon. I'm sorry. Hang right there, Big Josh. According to Chris on Twitter, Somerville, Georgia also has the McDonald's new chicken sandwich. So there you go. Somerville, Georgia has it as well. Just wanted to – didn't want to throw out any fake news there.
CNN reporting.
Fake news.
If I'm getting chicken sandwich, I'm going to Chick-fil-A, Russ.
You know what? I had.
You're going to Popeyes, Josh.
I had that Popeyes sandwich again over the holiday weekend. It's better the second time. Like, the first time I had it, was like, maybe it was because it was so hyped so much. I don't know what I was expecting, but it was like, okay, this is all right. Second time I had it, oh, man.
It's like Crack Rock. That's how Popeyes gets you.
A solid sandwich, man.
It's going to be a commercial in a few years that said, if you or a loved one consumed a Popeyes chicken sandwich, you may be entitled to financial compensation.
What else you got for us, Big Josh? Did we lose Big Josh? He's like, I'm tired of you guys interrupting my phone call.
Unless he put himself on mute.
Chicken nonsense.
Check your phone. You there, Josh? Josh going once? Okay. We lost Big Josh.
Westchester is next. Hello, Westchester.
How are we doing, gentlemen?
Outstanding. Happy birthday, Westchester. Y'all don't know.
Thanks, buddy.
It's Westchester's birthday.
You friends with Westchester on Facebook?
Yes.
That's how you know, don't you? You get that notification this morning?
He sent me, and this was kind of odd, and I hope you don't mind me throwing your business out there, Westchester, but he slid in my DMs on Twitter earlier today and told me he's about to get birthday drunk on his birthday, interestingly enough. And I said, happy birthday, Westchester, as a good friend often will.
Thanks, buddy. I appreciate that. Hey, Bear, it's my birthday.
Happy birthday, Westchester.
Thanks, buddy. Guys, I told you all at the beginning of the season what has to happen for Tennessee to be successful. And I know I'm the neg of all.
Westchester, you said we were going 3-9.
I'm not the only neg of all, but I'm one of them. What did I say? What do we have to do? We had to beat KY, we had to beat Kandy, and maybe Carolina if we're lucky. What do we do this year? We had a crappy beginning of the year. Because we had some players that were botch Indians or whatever we want to call them that weren't bought into the system, but you know what? At the end of the season, we beat KY, we beat Kandy, we even managed to beat Carolina, and we made a bowl game. Look, I'm not all in with Skullcan. I'm not giving him the raise and extension yet, but he's on the right path. Let's be honest. Even a Negaval like me, who doesn't want to admit it, has to admit, when I set the standards and he achieves them, he did something good. I mean, right?
Hey,
Westchester. I mean, you did say very emphatically that we were doing no better than 3-9.
Right. That was your take.
Right. And I was wrong, wasn't I?
You going to apologize to Big Germ?
No, I'm not going to apologize. I'll apologize next year when he wins 8.
Can't apologize.
But we can't win eight next year, so I'm not gonna break down the schedule on this call, but we can't do it next year. But honestly, I'm pretty happy with where we are. I'm glad that most of the players have started to buy in, and you know, we're in the right direction. And I'm a much more of a skull can believer than I was at the beginning of the season. And I think most people, if they're honest, that's about where they are. I mean, I don't even care if we lose the bowl game to Michigan, because we're going to play Michigan somewhere in Florida, and we may or may not win. I would love Tennessee to be the final nail in Harbaugh's coffin, wouldn't y'all?
Is that a thing? Could they fire him this year?
Well, after he loses four or five straight to Ohio State, he's gone anyway, right?
Oh, like he just leaves by
himself? I think he
goes back to the NFL
before he
or something.
Fired.
He's got to be fired. He can't lose that many to Ohio State and keep his job, can he?
Yeah, he can, because he's a Harbaugh.
I mean, what are they going to do?
Skolkan almost got fired this year until we proved 1928 was a fluke.
Yeah, but Skolkan didn't play here. He didn't, you know.
All right.
I mean, it'd be like firing Peyton.
Yeah, but you can't lose. You can't break the streak against Candy. You can't. That was the one thing that saved this job this year. Let's be honest.
Well, that beating Missouri and
South Carolina.
Missouri? Kentucky. Come on. Missouri, a team that's so bad they wouldn't hire him as a coach?
Listen, man, you got to look at the picture in its totality. You got to look at the direction of the program. Where are we headed? Are we headed up or down?
We're headed up.
That's the thing.
Let me ask you one more question as far as Tennessee football goes and buyouts. How much more are we going to allow bots to not take a job before we quit paying them? Because honestly, as many jobs as they're open right now, there's no way he doesn't have a head coaching job at the start of next season. I think he deserves it. He doesn't. But why are we still paying him if he doesn't?
I've heard that Nick Saban has guaranteed him a full-time assistant job next season.
But that's not really his buyout, right?
It's not all of it. I mean, he's not going to find a job that was paying him $4 million.
He doesn't have to find a job that's paying him $4 million. He has to have a head coaching job, right?
No. If he gets a head coaching job, if he got the Rutgers job and they were paying him $2 million, we'd still be on the hook for the other $2
million. Yeah, it's called an offset.
Westchester's world just came crashing down. He was like, oh, my God. If we could have gotten Butch – the UT San Antonio gig where our boy Frank Wilson got fired over the weekend, pour one out for Frank Wilson, we would have had that entire buyout would have been gone. No, not unless they're going to pay him $4 million a year. Thank you, Westchester. Appreciate
Happy
the phone
birthday,
call.
Big boy.
Happy birthday, man. Yeah, I've heard Butch is in line for running backs, receivers, something like that. Maybe coordinator if Sark leaves. What? It's so funny. It's so funny.
Be kind.
I'm not the high one today, Bear.
I'm not a grass expert.
Stay with us. The Drive continues. Fan Run Radio. Back with more right after this.
The Drive's podcast is presented by Disability Advantage Group. Need help applying for Social Security disability benefits? One call does it all. Call Disability Advantage Group today at 865-566-0800. Applying for disability can be very tedious. Having an experienced attorney on your side makes it easy. Call Disability Advantage Group, 865-566-0800, or visit online at dag-us.com.
Now, let's get back to the Drive.
Interesting to see if Tennessee can scavenge the spoils of the SEC and national college football coaching bloodletting that we're seeing the past couple of that. You know, somebody brought this up to me. I didn't even thought about it, but remember we were recruiting that linebacker from the West Coast, Savelle Smalls, a 5-star.
Right.
Moose was all hot on his trail. He commits to Washington. Well, Washington saw their head coach resign today.
Yeah, but that was an internal, very seamless transition, and there's already been bad blood between Washington and Tennessee.
So?
They claim that we cheated to get Toto.
So?
The only thing I know for certain with the recruitment
I hope we did.
Toto.
And you know, what else? I hope we cheat to get Savelle Smalls. Let's go back to the well, baby.
They flat out lied to that kid about the average mean temperature here in Knoxville.
Yo, Savelle, what's up, bro? I heard your coach left. Oh, yeah, I know. They promoted from within, and it's the defensive coordinator, so you're probably real comfortable and all, but Savelle, you don't really think that's going to work, do you? Jimmy Lake? Are you kidding me? Who is Jimmy Lake? Is that even the guy's name? I know it's Lake.
Yeah.
Is he related to Carnell Lake? I mean, like Emerson Lake and Palmer? Jimmy Lake, who is that? Dude, he's going to get fired next year. You don't know who your coach is going to be. Savelle, come on down to Knoxville, baby. The Moose has got a we'll send the bag man by. We'll hook you up. You come on down here. We're going to put you next to next year. Come on, Savelle.
Savelle. They've got a lake, but we got a river.
You know, there are a couple that you were telling me, like LSU is having to turn some dudes away.
Yeah, I saw a 4-star decommitted from LSU today, but I think it's more in part that they've just filled all their spots.
And we're trying to get Ojulari back.
I don't see that happening, unfortunately.
Never say never.
I'd like to be wrong.
And then this dude, Stackhouse, Nazir Stackhouse.
Is he related to Jerry?
I don't know. 4-star, 6'4", 280-pound defensive lineman from Georgia. He's been committed to the Dogs for 2 years. Skullcan's in there trying to flip that thing at the last minute.
Cornbread.
All right.
Apparently they're still going after Jay Hardy, too.
I'm sure they are.
Rumor around the boards is that Amari Thomas?
Mm-hmm.
Is coming to Tennessee.
Well, we survived the Auburn visit this weekend without him committing, which is a good sign.
Did you see Auburn pulled off another shocking commitment over the weekend?
Who'd they get?
Zacchaeus Walker.
Is that while he was on campus there?
That's assuming. A good name. You could be making like Zacchaeus Walker. You could have just made that name up. I'd have believed you. That sounds like an Auburn 4-star defensive end.
More like an LSU.
He was a shoe-in for Georgia, and he was considered a lock to Georgia his entire recruitment process, and then he flipped to Auburn 2 days ago.
Hate to see it.
The Auburn flip.
Let's get David in here. David, you're on the Drive, Fan Run Radio. Good afternoon, sir.
How's it going this afternoon, gentlemen?
Hey, man, it's going well. Thanks.
Hey, I just kind of wanted to point out, you know, obviously the national media hates this, and I think the feeling's pretty mutual, but after that face mask tug on Garantano, he sure turned the corner and lost in the Eric Gray Senior Day festivities. Schamberger played a hell of a game on defense, and I haven't heard anybody really mention that, but, you know, after Pruitt got in his rear end, he kind of showed out. Saturday, he was in on a bunch of tackles and played real sound defense. And I just think it's a testament. I mean, you got to know your players to know the kind of discipline they're going to respond to. And I think Pruitt's hitting that right on the head. And I just think that got lost in the shuffle a little bit. But I just wanted to add my 2 cents. Appreciate the show. Y'all have a good day.
Thanks, David. Player development. I mean, we've been – it was such a shortcoming of the previous regime. We had good players, but, like, did they really get – better, you know, maybe a couple of them did, but
who under Butch's tenure?
Yeah, I mean, like Derek Barnett was a much better player when he left than when he first got here. Dobbs and like guys developed, but not enough.
Dobbs wasn't much developed more than the day he came in. He just matured and got bigger, faster, stronger.
Like you gotta develop pretty much everybody. I mean, you gotta. Especially if we're not going to sign any 5-stars this year. Like, we can't just toe and Darnell write it all the time, right? We're going to have to take some of these guys. We're going to have to take a Tank McCullough, a Roman Harrison, who got his first sack the other night, a Karat Garland. We're going to have to take these dudes, throw them in the weight room, coach them up, and turn them into very good SEC football players.
Who is Jabari Small?
He is a high school teammate of Omari Thomas's at Briarcrest.
He just decommitted from Ole Miss about 30 minutes ago.
Yeah, and, well, I don't know what to read into that, if anything, because Matt Luke just resigned there, right? But it has been rumored that Tennessee, in an effort to land Omari Thomas, might go ahead and take his high school teammate.
Package
deal, which, I don't know. I mean, spots are precious.
Who's the most successful package deal we ever offered?
We had this conversation not long ago. It was really obvious. It's somebody there now, isn't it?
I mean, who are some that were there now? Carlin Fils-Aimé and Tyler Bird.
Yeah, that wasn't a great one. I'm drawing a blank. Who?
Lyman?
Oh, man.
Eric Gray?
No, we don't have any other Lausanne guys, I don't think.
There's a lot of hate being directed at him from the M.
Yeah.
What's up with that down there?
I don't know if you've noticed, but Memphis and Tennessee, kind of a rivalry. We don't like each other.
Yeah, but I would never, you know.
Well, we're big brother. I mean, who would leave to Memphis?
I'm never going to root for Florida, but I hope Quez Glover, you know, does well down there.
But that's not a fair comparison. We didn't offer him. You know Memphis would have loved to have Eric Gray.
Oh, yeah.
Memphis would have loved to have almost every player on our roster.
He rejected them. So, I mean, it's hard to – like Corey Brewer would have been a better comparison. We really wanted him. He went to Florida, but he's not a Knoxville kid. I mean, Cade Mays is the comparison you're searching for, and there has been some hate directed towards him. Probably not as much as Eric Gray is getting, but – even that's difficult because his dad was a legacy. Maybe T. Higgins.
Yeah, but man, I don't even feel like that much shade's thrown at T.
Because we just blame Butch.
That and it, you know, I think T made best decision for him, and it's really paying off for him. He's probably playing his way into being a first round draft pick. Oh, that kid can glide, can't he?
Marcus, oh man, watching him.
Did you see how
just ball out against? I've watched him for 2 years now. Like it will never not hurt watching Trevor Lawrence throw bombs to T. Higgins, knowing that both of those guys, they both wanted to be here. They both wanted to be Vols.
They didn't want to wear that ugly
and
orange.
They
didn't want to wear it. They didn't want to wear orange and purple.
They obviously made the right decisions for themselves. I won't fault them for that because they're on great teams, they're being developed, and they're going to be NFL players. But if we had had the current regime here, I bet you they play for Tennessee.
Probably. Along with Amari.
Marcus is next. Hello, Marcus.
Hey, guys. How you doing?
Hey, man. Doing well. Thanks.
You threw my name in there for a second. I thought maybe you were talking about me balling out. I'm like, man, I didn't even play middle school football, let alone high school. So I appreciate that moment of glory. I wanted to ask you, do you guys think that there's any kind of Missouri transfers we could possibly pick up? I heard that a lot of players were not very happy with that firing.
Now, Ole Miss or Missouri?
Yeah, because the Ole Miss guys, apparently, the AD went in there to talk to the team, and they had several guys just up and walk out of there.
Yeah, that's why I kind of wondered if there were any guys there that maybe Pruitt and the Moose could maybe like say, hey, you know, we have security here. If you want to still play in the SEC, maybe come this way.
I've got to ask why, because I know myself, I'm going to forget it. If, feel free to answer too, Marcus, if they had the transfer portal in 2008, because you've spoken on this on air several times about how upset the football team was at the press conference when Fulmer was getting the axe. I wonder how many of those.
Yeah, but, I mean, you probably did have people transfer. I mean, there was a big
– you had a few, probably.
Anytime you have a coaching change, there's a lot of turnover on a roster, anytime. But it's not like they would have been – it's not like a Missouri situation last year where the guys would have been eligible to play because there was an NCAA bowl ban or something like that, the Ole Miss thing a couple of years ago when Hugh Freeze left and everybody scattered. Like, if you want to transfer from Ole Miss or Missouri, you're still going to have to sit out a year unless you've graduated. What was your question, Marcus?
Well, I was just curious.
Guys that, like, are we going to poach? I'm sure as the attention to detail with Pruitt, I mean, I'm sure they've already gone over every roster of Arkansas, Missouri, Ole Miss. I'm sure they're looking around at Washington today, everywhere, just saying, hey, what's out there for us? Whether they have to sit out, whether it's a grad transfer situation, or whether we can poach commitments in recruiting high school players, then I'm positive that is happening right now as we speak.
Because I'm sure, I think you guys even talked about it, like, we want to fill up this roster the best we can, especially on the O-line and D-line, and especially with Ryan Johnson transferring. I would imagine they wouldn't, even if it meant to sit out a year, I'm sure they wouldn't mind looking for a couple transfers who have played some and willing to just fill up that roster and get some guys, get some bodies on this team.
Sure. Sure. I'm sure they're looking around and seeing what's out there. And, you know, this happens every year in recruiting. You think you've got kind of – we've got 18 commitments now. You think, okay, we've got 7 spots. Here's the guys we want. You know, here's our pie in the sky. And it always changes, man, because of situations like this, firing and just plain old pulling a rabbit out of the hat at the last minute. So it'll be interesting to see, you know, what Pruitt and these guys can get done here late, and you know how far up these recruiting rankings we can charge, because as we've said several times today, that's the next step, man. Is okay, we've got a good foundation laid here. Our guys can coach offense, they can coach defense. It doesn't look like we're going to lose coordinators or anything like that. Got to get players, man. Need more of them at every single position. We need more players.
Cornbread.
Anything else, Marcus?
Yeah, I just had a quick question. I know you guys have talked about it before, but are there any kind of position coaches? Because I'm sure we're probably going to let some who are at the end of their contract potentially just walk and try to refill those with actual maybe guys who can recruit like Niedermeyer. Is there a certain position coach you wouldn't mind letting them just walk and trying to fill in that spot with somebody else?
I mean, pretty much everybody other than the coordinators and Niedermeyer, maybe T. Martin. Like, you know, I think that Rocker, Rumpf, Scherer, Winky, like those are the ones I would watch.
Ansley's not going anywhere.
And I don't know that all those guys, but any of those guys, like, I would be surprised if they're all back.
I got you. All right, guys. Well, I appreciate the phone call.
Thanks, Marcus. Appreciate you. We take a quick timeout, 865-546-8200. If you want to jump on board, we'll check the Rickard Ridge Barbecue smoking hot poll question coming up next here on The Drive.
Yo, in the afternoon, this is The Drive. It's time for the Rickard Ridge Barbecue smoking hot question of the day. Brought to you by Rickard Ridge Barbecue, located in Cove Lake State Park. Online at RickardRidgeBBQ.com.
Oh. All right, which job out of the 3 SEC gigs that are open is the best? Rank them.
I'm going to say Ole Miss, Arkansas, and then Missouri.
I agree with that.
I'm going to say Arkansas, Missouri, Ole Miss.
You've obviously never been to Oxford for a game, huh?
I don't know that you're a 4-star recruit trying to figure out where you want to go.
Mm-hmm.
How big a deal is that?
The scenery?
Yeah.
I mean, we've had, I don't know if you were standing there, but we've had a former Tennessee player that said that, believe it or not, plays a significant role in your recruitment.
I mean, it plays a role, but you're thinking about playing time. You're thinking about coaches. You're thinking about getting to the NFL. You're thinking about winning. You're thinking about where you're going to be living, quality of life. You're thinking about school. You're thinking about girls and social opportunities. Yeah. I mean, that's far down the list. It's a nice benefit. Don't get me wrong. But you're acting like Arkansas is some podunk out in the middle of nowhere thing. Like, Fayetteville has consistently been rated as one of the up and coming best places to live in America for the past decade or so.
You have fun, Vietnam. I'm going to the Grove.
Okay.
I mean,
down there with the Black Bears.
If Hugh Freeze had to bring in some strippers to Ole Miss, then
he wasn't bringing in, he wasn't bringing those women in to recruit players. That was don't get mixed up. That was Patino at Louisville. What the Right Reverend was doing was
wait a minute,
hold on,
Hugh Freeze, the Right Reverend, fire up the African prayer candles. And hit the damn jimmy drums, Bear! Ah, yes.
The Right Reverend was not procuring. It's been a minute.
The Right Reverend Hugh Freeze. Ole Miss, you know you want to do it. You know you want to do it. Light those African prayer candles. Bang on the jimmy drum. I want to bang on the jimmy drum all day. Like Todd Rundgren. Get that man a designer dental chair. Have him a seat in the press box. And turn the clock back, Ole Miss. Bring back the Rev.
I mean, he was seeking adult entertainment for himself while using a university-issued cell phone.
He's really misunderstood when you think about it. He's a leader of men. There's a reason that Jerry Falwell Jr. up there at Liberty brought him back into the fold. He was lost in the flock. We brought him back.
Mm-hmm.
Well,
that will never not be funny that he recruited. Who was that kid? Jonathan
Kongbo. Have you heard the story, Jake?
Do you know why we played the jimmy drums?
No, I haven't heard this one.
He
it
showed
reminds
up.
Me of Major League.
Hold on. Tennessee and Ole Miss, 3 or 4 years ago, engaged in a heated recruiting battle for, I believe he was a five-star.
Yeah.
A junior college tied defensive lineman, Jonathan Kongbo. He's leaning towards Tennessee. Butch and Shoop, the saddest man to ever hold an ice cream cone, feel like they have him locked up. Hugh Freeze in a last-ditch effort. I swear you could
– this is fact.
Actually, it's probably not fact. It was reported in one obscure blog, but – I really like it, so I'm just going to consider it to be the truth. It was reported that Hugh Freeze, in a last-ditch effort to steal Kongbo from us, traveled to British Columbia, where his parents live, and went to their house with a djembe drum and African prayer candles. His family's from Africa. And so
Wearing a dashiki?
He wanted to show them.
I think he was wearing a dashiki.
He wanted to show them how distinctly international and woke he was, so he took some African prayer candles, lit them up, a couple of djembe drums, and reportedly spent several hours praying with them in Canada.
Some white dude from Memphis.
Hugh Freeze did that.
Yeah, that's why we played the djembe drums.
He absolutely did that.
What song do you think he played? Probably the Ole Miss fight song?
Is there a song? I don't think there are songs on the drums.
I don't imagine that the Right Reverend has a whole lot of rhythm, so I think it was, you know, it didn't sound as good as this.
Well,
it's long been a drive staple. How long has this been going on now? I guess since Kongbo's recruitment.
Since we heard that story.
Is it 3-4 years?
I think I want to say 2016. I love the jimmy drums. I mean, this might be the best bit in the history of the show, which, granted, is not saying a lot, but it's the drive. when I say, hit the damn jimmy drums!
Then we go to the...
You know what time it is.
You know we're talking about this part. The Right Reverend.
Shh, shh, shh. You know what time it is. Shh, shh.
Right back into it. God bless you. Here's $100,000. Come play football at Ole Miss. What a clown. You think he'll ever get another shot?
I don't know.
If I were Ole Miss, Ole Miss fans, if we were doing a show in Oxford, we'd be demanding that the Reverend be brought back.
Definitely.
I mean, if we're going to keep talking, man,
I mean, it's just a couple of hookers, Russell. Come on, man. He's a changed man. His wife took him back. Why can't we? I love it when he posts pictures on social media of, like, his wife and his kids. His daughters are really pretty. And you're just thinking, like, man. I can't even imagine how that conversation goes. Honey, there's going to be some news come out about me here in just a little bit.
I got caught. Now, out of moment of weakness.
Before you cast any judgment, just hear me out here. What, did you wreck the car? Did were you caught handing out $100 bill? No, honey, they went back through my phone records and what were you calling, like a gambling number or something? No, honey. You see, when I was out recruiting up in Michigan on a cold winter night, well, honey, I just missed you so much. I needed a warm body to hold in the middle of the cold Minnesota night.
Preferably an Eastern European girl.
Lord, forgive me, for I have sinned.
And then at that point, cell phone starts ringing by none other than Jerry Falwell.
No, that was the university cell phone. They took that back. You know who busted him?
There was some
Houston
journalist,
Nutt.
Was it? Oh, yeah, it was Houston Nutt.
Yes.
How did he find out?
Because they were trashing him and acting like
he
was
a PI.
Yeah. And then he did FOIA, Freedom of Information Act, for records. And, you know.
And then he leaked that to people in the media.
Yeah, which I don't blame Houston Nutt at all. He's a boss and a baller.
Goes around, comes around, man.
Yeah, man. You come at the king, you best not miss.
Brian on Twitter says, Hugh Freeze is not a white guy from Memphis, Bear. He's a white guy from Independence, Mississippi. Get your facts straight and come back and see me.
He spent a great deal of time. He spent most of his
–
he was at Briarcrest, wasn't he? Didn't he coach Michael Orr?
I'm sorry.
And according to, there was some crazy stuff that allegedly went on down there. We aren't going to get into it.
No, it's like, when did he leave Independence, Mississippi? You know, is it when you left? Like, technically, I'm not from here, but I've lived here since I was 5 years old. I say I'm from Knoxville, right? I'm from Knoxville.
Yeah, but we still are kind of suspicious about you, to tell you the truth, Russ.
Okay. It's understandable.
Ole Miss dial. These Memphis people sure are picky about who gets to be claimed from Memphis. And
oh, it's a weird tribal thing they got going on. I mean, we got a weird tribal thing up here. It's a whole different ballgame up there in Memphis.
Got it, Maine.
Stay with us. The shocking conclusion of the drive coming up. Speak now, forever hold your peace. 865-546-8200. The drive continues next.
Looks like you're one of the lucky ones. You're listening to The Drive.
Who's this gal who didn't know who Van Halen is?
Billie Eilish.
Who's Billie Eilish? Billie Eilish?
The one Trey was talking about.
Does he like her?
I don't know. She's just... has some popular music right now.
Oh, she's a diva. She's a modern day singer.
I've seen. I'm not gonna lie. I've seen her in Saturday Night Live. She's got a couple of halfway decent songs, but.
Well, how old is she?
I mean, she's probably like
17.
There's no way in hell.
Well, yeah. I mean, it's probably not.
I mean,
surprising,
Eddie had already had a hip replacement and half his tongue cut out from the smoking by 2002.
One of her songs was like the outro music for the World Series broadcast.
How are you famous as a musician at like 17 or 18?
Because of YouTube and social media.
And you're not like the Jackson 5.
I mean, Taylor Swift broke at what, 16?
Justin Bieber did the same.
He's a pox. I can't stand him.
How old do you think the Van Halen guys were when they broke in the late 70s?
Probably in early
20s.
Neil Sean was 15 when he played Woodstock with Santana. You imagine, because me and you have, both of us have a child that's within 3 years of that. Do you imagine letting your child get in a van with a bunch of dudes in a band and roll up to Woodstock?
Oh, is a girl? Who is this?
Neil Sean from Journey.
Neil Sean from Journey.
He was in Santana.
Oh, okay.
I'm just saying, girl or boy, I wouldn't. It doesn't matter to me. Would you let your 15-year-old kid join a band?
Well, I wouldn't let my daughter go. I mean, it is very different.
That.
It is very different. Yeah, let my daughter go with a bunch of band dudes on a road trip versus let my son go. It's two completely different ball games, bro.
Your daughter's extremely street smart, and I'd. Okay. I'm afraid she karate chopped me in the throat. She's a tough cookie.
I mean, I went on, like, I'm guessing a lot of the kids who went to Woodstock weren't asking for their parents to sign permission slips.
But yeah, but to answer your question, I mean, there's throughout music history, there's been people that have pulled it off.
Pulled what off?
Being like early like teenagers super, and superstars.
Yeah, breaking through.
Yeah.
I don't know, man. I guess I like people to pay their dues a little bit, whether it's sports, music, whatever. It's like, you know, go through the struggle, work, learn your craft, hone your skill.
I saw something. Somebody, what's the guy? He's a great follower on Twitter, Eric Alper. He put out this thing. It's a picture of George Harrison. It says on his 27th birthday, it was right before the Beatles. So by the time he was 27, he'd already been in the Beatles and they were breaking up. That's just
wild. He was very young. Wasn't he like 15 when he started playing with
yeah.
And they the
made,
boys?
Yeah, and then John, he was. What's the story? John made fun of him. He was George's buddy, George's mate.
Yeah, well, I guess you get started early.
What was the name of your music high school band?
That's the thing. I don't know, and I don't appreciate you sliding into my wife's DMs again over the weekend. Oh, yeah, she told me.
I slid into her DMs because here's where Russ is going to feel about everybody. I slid into her DMs because it was a Christmas question.
Uh-huh.
And then being bare, I added tacked it on to try and see if I could catch her slipping.
No, I mean, you think like you think Mrs. Dubs is going to sell the old man out. It's not going to happen. We're a
team.
I'm
just going to have to pick my spot. Wait until you completely and totally royally piss her off, which from what you've told me. Happens quite frequently.
Not going to happen. What we got, strong. It's built to last. Nothing can come between us.
I can't believe she ratted me out again, though.
Stay with us.
No.
We got overtime. Come on, I'm setting the scene. Okay. You know, want folks to we stand out and listen to Tanner Carson.
TC.
And friends. Want to thank Hayden Wallen for his help inside the Fan Run Studios tonight. Thank you, Jake. Thank you, Trey. Thank you, Bear. We'll do it again tomorrow, 3 to 6. Right here on The Drive.